Hello everyone! Are you on your way to shift empty success into fulfillment? Welcome to Uplift My Life Today, the podcast. You are now in a safe place where we converse, explore, reflect, connect and deep dive into our inner world together. Fulfillment starts from within. Every conversation and discussion here is a journey, one that you will continue even after the episode completes. My name is Astuti Marto Sudirjo. I am your host. And thank you for choosing to uplift your life today.
Welcome to the Uplift My Life Today podcast. My name is Julie Grau, and I will be speaking today to Astuti Marto Sudirjo, who is the host or the co-host of this podcast. We will be exploring today Astuti's journey and also what it means to be living a fulfilling life with ease. She gets a lot of questions often about this, and this is what her work is about. So we thought it might be a useful idea today to cover these topics with her. Hi, Astuti.
Hi, Julie.
How are you?
I'm excited.
Me too.
To talk about this topic. We can go on for some time, right? On this topic.
Yes, we certainly can. So one of the things that obviously you're helping people with, or the main thing that you're helping with people with, and you mentioned it on your website, is about living a fulfilling life with ease.
Yes, yes, yes.
So which sounds amazing. So what exactly is living a fulfilling life with ease?
This is a very, very good question. The answer is everybody has a different version of fulfilling life. But as a basic premise, fulfilling life for me is a life where you are able to live your life on your terms in terms of what you wish to accomplish. So it's based on choices that you make. You put the efforts, you achieve something, and in the journey and in achieving what you wanted to create, you have a lot of positive, uplifting emotions with it, like joy, peace, satisfaction, enriched feelings. So I make a distinction between fulfilling life and empty success, because a lot of us often live our lives day in, day out for many, many years, following an expectations that come from mostly outside of us, and didn't put enough emphasis on the quality of the journey in fulfilling or in creating or manifesting the life that we want. So fulfilling life is basically success plus joy, love, peace, satisfactions, enrichment, growth, whatever you want. And for different people, it looks different depending on who they are.
Yeah. Okay. So success with the positive emotions, basically.
Yes. Yes.
And I'm assuming you're living, you know, what you would call a fulfilled life with ease.
I consider myself my life very fulfilling. Yes. Yes.
Amazing. Was it always so? And if not, how did you get there?
Yes. I was not always fulfilled, I would say, but I was successful for a long, long time. Of course, there was a point in my life where the life that I was living, successful life, collapsed. Basically, that was the beginning of the journey.
When you say success, you were living a successful life.
Yes.
May I ask what you meant?
So I defined it as the ability to grow Okay, so professionally, I was growing. I was living with a clear plan, 5 years plan. Every 5 years, I set some kind of directions as to where I'm going, and there was a lot of milestones in there. I was always growing to fulfill the milestone. I was earning very well for where I was in my life. I could take care of myself. That was also a criteria of success for me. Independent life financially, and also I was able to support my parents, my elderly parents at the time. So that was how I defined success. And I have always been a disciplined person. I think you could probably testify to this, knowing me for so many years. Mm-hmm. Whenever I set a goal, I will not let go until I achieve. This is just a characteristic. So I have to tell myself the goal change. Otherwise, I just keep on going and coming for it and nonstop. And this was an automatic thing. It's just I was expecting myself to do that. I didn't mind so much doing the work, a lot of work and investment to do it. But it was almost like there's no other option to exist and to be. Anything that does not help me to fulfill these 5 years goals, career goals, I defined it as career goals, are completely deprioritized. So I wasn't so much at the time focusing on my health. I wasn't so much focusing on relationship. I was focusing so much on my relationship with my family and my parents, but not so much on friends, or particularly not in romantic relationship. So it was very focused, very singular. So of course, when I put a lot of efforts in certain aspects of my life, it grew. Of course, when you put your energy into a certain area of your life, it will grow, especially because I was very dedicated. Okay. So I was very dedicated. I was very willing to put in the work. I was very willing to stretch myself, to raise the bar, etc., until I get the burnout. Okay. That's when I completely get disoriented, completely lost, because I thought this was the path and this was going to be the path for the rest of my life, because in my mind, there was only one path. And it didn't work out, obviously. And I had to start over because everything collapsed, basically.
Okay. So what happened? How did you go from sort of burnout to where you are now?
Yes, that's a big bridge. Okay. So back then, I identified myself with professional success. Okay. Mm-hmm. And how good I was for my parents and my family. So how good of a daughter I was for them. So these are just two parameters. So if my parents are well taken care of, then I'm a good child. It took a lot. It took a toll on everything else in my life that was not very well taken care of. And the fact that my body stopped working well or cooperating or functioning in the way that I needed it to function to continue in this track, I had to stop and review everything that I've done in my life. And of course, there was a lot of judgment about that. I didn't like making mistakes. I didn't like the feeling of lack of clarity and disorientation, mm-hmm. like lost. I didn't feel safe because when I was going through the burnout, I live alone. And there was a big, big fear that I wouldn't be able to make it. Who's going to take care of me and all these things? So the fear starts speaking, and then the needs that I had that was there, but I ignored, becoming more obvious. So I started to realize needs that I have neglected, and this was a very humbling experience because I asked myself, am I still going to be able to enjoy my life, or to at least enjoy success without this and this and this? And the answer is no. But I didn't exactly know what to do. right? Like, because I was living in one way, and then now I have to broaden up the way I live, or trying, testing out different way of living. So in the process of healing from burnout, I took a humble approach to go back to the basic, right? I went back to the time when I had less pressure, even though I had to be very successful. So this was when my younger days, basically I look back into my university time and also high school times. And I tried to recall the stuff that I really enjoyed that I stopped doing. And I realized that I really liked deep conversations, and I'm a very curious person, so I like to learn something new, something that is not usual, something that requires a lot of deep contemplation. And at the time, there was not much time for that because I was basically busy working. So then I started to touch many, many, many areas that I never made time. So I went back and remember I like dancing, traditional dancing. So I was lucky. One of my best friends said, let's learn flamenco. Let's learn belly dancing. Let's learn these things. And I'm like, okay, yes. And explore this. I used to love reading books about spirituality and all this. And so we started to come back to this topic, me and my friend, some of my friends. There's a spark coming. Mm. And I'm like, whoa, this is really nice. It doesn't have anything to do with what I do, but it gives me energy. And that was what is required for my burnout healing, that I needed to give myself something that beyond food and rest that is getting the fire in me to light up again. And this fire feels different than the fire from work. And of course, because I was doing a lot of healing on the subconscious mind level, I started to get to know different methods, and I started reading about it, etc. And start to be very curious. But at the time, I wasn't even thinking to do this as a profession. I didn't even know there is such a profession until I had the burnout. And so through my own healing journey, I started to be connected to the world that was fascinating for me. And then I remember, actually, I had a burnout in 2008. In 2005, I actually already kind of opened up a little bit of the door towards the personal development world. At the time, I was thinking maybe I should be a coach. So I did like explorations, you know, speak to some people who were a life coach, and I went to have conversation with a couple of schools on to do the certification. But I put it back. I said, I don't know anything about life. And I feel like from what I'm hearing from this conversation, I wanted to touch on a deeper psyche, you know? So maybe I said, if I keep on living, then I would know something more about the psyche. I wasn't thinking necessarily learning anything, tools or anything like that. That was my reasoning. So I put back everything in the cupboard. And so as I was coming back from the burnout, it took me about 2.5 years. So we are speaking about 2010 now. I was like, oh my God, I did try to, I did hear the call somewhere before the burnout to start looking or moving and shifting into personal development world, which is something that is completely different than what I was doing professionally. Looking back, I can say that the movement or the bridge from where I was into a fulfilling life started even before I had the crisis. Mm. Okay. There was this voice, and I entertained the voice. Well, this is another thing. I entertained the voice. But I think it was too overwhelming at the time to know, because I was still confined by my own thoughts of what needs to be, or what is a good life needs to be, or what successful life needs to be. Because at the time, I already had this mode of not paying attention to joy and health. And I was already on that track of success the way I had it until the burnout.
Mm-hmm. And how difficult was it to, difficult or easy was it then to transition or move into this new way of living or being, you know, to always have that sort of very professional focus on your, you know, on your parents, to then a more holistic, maybe if you call it, you know,
holistic is good,
where you actually look after your own needs as well.
It was hard. It was really hard. I think if burnout hadn't happened, the thing with burnout is that your body need to be a priority, right? Like, otherwise you can go on into this cycle for like years and get depressed and mental breakdown and all this. It's very, very real when you are fully, fully disconnected with the deeper part of who you are. And that's the burnout for me, was a disconnection with who I really am. Now I can say that. At the time, I didn't know it. I didn't know what I was disconnecting with apart from my body. It was very difficult because it's scary. Up to that point, I never lived really paying attention to how I feel. I never really lived fulfilling my needs first. I never lived putting my wants and needs first, my desire. It's always about what is good for the collective. So what is good for the team? What is good for the family? What is good for the organization I work for? What is good for my boss? What is good for the team? You know, it's always. So
somebody
somebody else and other people, you know, a lot of people. This was like, it's, you know, in one way I can see that now with, as I process the regrets also, there was a lot of regrets of the choices that I made. It's done, but there was regrets and sadness over the choices that I made in the past. That there was a, what is feasible now is there was a deep yearning and longing and desire to serve others. And this is something I keep until today. Mm-hmm. Okay. The difference is now I'm not willing to sacrifice myself for that. In the past, that's what I do automatically, right?
And so you probably didn't even realize it, right?
No, because it was just so normal. And I think this is also very much connected to how my family, extended family, is operating, how my father was. He was so into serving the country, serving many people. This was coming to me since I was a child. If you have a gift, you serve humanity with this, which I really adore. But what he didn't say is, but never never sacrifice yourself in the process. And he had a different endurance level than me. That's why he could do what he was doing. But I'm not him. And that's something, you know, I'm me and I have my shortcomings. I have my own personalities. And this is when I had to learn my boundaries is very different than my dad's boundary. So this is this was very difficult for me because it didn't always clear to me what was the real issue here? Because at some point, I was really just following a template that was coming from, in my case, my father. He's a role model for me. So we're not in the field. We're not at all in the same field. But in terms of ethics and principle in showing up for others, it's very, very similar. So I was just following his template. But this is his template. It's not mine, you see? So even though we want to serve, the way he serves and the extent that he's serving others should not be the same as me. And I was trying so much to be on that level. And that's when I learned, like, looking back, that was a key thing, is that, no, I need to set how I do it. And I need to set how much the limit that I am to offer. So then both parties, the win-win situation, I experience fulfillment and the other person experience something good. But in the balance up to that point, it's much more about they feel good. I didn't feel good. not as good as I could have been if I pay attention to my needs. And this is something that is tricky. I'm very fortunate, quote unquote, to have the burnout because I had to take a step back and be disciplined and humble and honest in reviewing. Why is it that the good intention could lead to so much harm, you know? And I realized that, yeah, because I took on way too much responsibility to certain extent, even I took on a responsibility that will never be able to be fulfilled. And I kept myself so accountable for it. And this is what I'm saying to you in the beginning. When I have a goal, I just stick to it until I change it. So I have to change it, right? Mm-hmm. And so this was a lot of honest, difficult conversation, because in the process of discovering what was not right or the choices that were not the healthiest for me, I had to deal with the regret, the shame towards the choices I made, the guilt also, and also the fear. There was a big fear. If I'm not this, what am I? That is a big question. So if I'm not using the template of my father,
yeah,
what is my template? I need to think about this.
Yeah. It's almost you have to create your own template now, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
And on top of that, I realized in my own process, this is why this is difficult. My natural pull is toward the world that no one in my family touch, in extended family. Mm-hmm. To be a subconscious mind reprogrammer, they were like, what the freak is that? Mm-hmm. Can you even live from this? Mm. You know, you're not a doctor, you're not a psychologist, what are you? Mm-hmm. You know? Mm-hmm. And I, by the time I made the decision, this is the time to go on full time, but this is also something we will probably discuss. Does it need to be full time or not, right? Mm-hmm. I knew very much what this is about. Mm-hmm. I don't have a role model in my family, so I didn't know if it's going to work or not. But it just felt so right for me. Mm-hmm. Okay. And I think, honestly, the thing that made me go say to myself, okay, let's close the past chapter in terms of what I do, my reputation and the earnings that I made and all this, let's close it. Let's close it with dignity and go to this place or this direction where I have not seen anyone before me in my family that has done it, and that I didn't know how to navigate the field, and just learn to trust the call. Because it's the call. And I realized there was a difference between personal development. That was, in my mind, that was what I associated coaching with, and spiritual growth. And this is where I'm at now. Mm. Okay. It took me so many years to say, I'm working and helping clients in spiritual growth, actually, because it felt so like, I'm not a priest. I'm not, you know, it's like, There was a process to find where is my space, where is my mm-hmm. place, mm-hmm. and to sit on it, to live there unapologetically. And I think this is actually the journey that was for me the most difficult.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Wow. it's something I really acknowledge about you. You know, this bravery to walk this path and be so authentic to yourself, right?
It is that, yes. And it's
an easy road to take.
It's not easy. It's not, and over time it gets much more easier. But in the beginning, the fear was really loud, right? Mm-hmm. Because of identity. One of the main fear is that will I lose friends? For me, it's not about money. The fear is never about money. The fear is more about will I lose my people connection, my safety, my safety connection is my people, you know, my friends, my close friends, my family. So for other people, it's more about the money, but for me, it's about that. So I, in the beginning of this journey, when I said, okay, I'm going to go in full time into this space in 2015, there was a transition period for a few months where I was freaking out. I was really, really freaking out. And it's not sensible, because I was saying, like, these people, they've known me for, I don't know, almost two decades or somewhere thereabout by then. But I had this weird, like, will they still want to be my friends when I'm not in their world anymore? Mm-hmm. When we are not be able to, we won't be able to converse of the same topics, because I was very aware by then that if I were to come into this world that I'm in right now, I will not want to engage in certain topics mm-hmm. because it's too much. Mm-hmm. Like, I would probably come out from the business world. I was in the business world all the time. I know what's going on. You know, I can follow movements of many different things, but that's not my interest anymore. And I realized that I would like to use my time and energy to go to another world where none of my friends were in. So what will keep us connected? That was really mm-hmm. scary. Mm-hmm. I haven't lost anyone, just so you know. Yeah. Yeah. But the relationship changed. No, mm-hmm. I think everybody acknowledged that, but we decided to stay connected in the extent that we can. Mm-hmm. And as I was growing deeper into this world that I'm in right now, I build up deeper connections with other people who have similar interests, right? Mm-hmm. So the fear that I had in the beginning didn't manifest, but that was really fear. It was a true fear that stressed the body out, mm-hmm. really, really stressed out the body. Mm-hmm. So yeah, so I think courage is certainly one thing, but also I learned that it's okay to be scared. It's huge. It's a huge process. Mm. It is a huge process. And it is also fine to give time, yourself time to figure out, to refine, because that's also the process of refinement. I still remember my process. This is also how life is magically helping you. I remember my dad passed away suddenly in 2012. And I think that was the first crumble of my old, not the first crumble, the deeper crumble of my old life. My template died. Okay. So I can't even have a chat with him anymore about things. So my template by then was probably 60% ready, but there was still 40% to figure out. Right. So like, okay, what does that mean? Like, I remember didn't really know how to live, not necessarily I want to die, but I was so confused about what am I supposed to do. So that was throughout the process of grieving, I realized that, okay, it's obvious that I really need to get going with this completion of this blue, you know, template for me, because I don't want to experience the same when my mom died, mm-hmm. collapse again. So I would like to be in a different connection or different state when something inevitable, which is the passing away of my mother, I would not like to crumble the way I did, you know, when my dad died. So I said, okay, let's just get going with template. And I continue with asking the questions. What matters to me? What is important to me? Who am I? What am I? And the process of taking care of my mom until she died in 2017 was actually quite helpful, indirectly very helpful to answer these questions, because there's a lot of stuff that happened in between that, including my mom experienced dementia. That was also, for me, was an eye-opening experience, because I saw my mother, who is very stoic about her emotions, with the help of dementia, I consider it a help, she could freely feel her feelings because she has no control over her mind. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm very happy for her for being able to cry of something that she couldn't cry fully, you know, years before. I also said to myself, I would not like just to be able to do that at the end of my life. Mm-hmm. I would like to feel what I feel when I feel it, feeling safe and being present. Mm-hmm. So that was also another part of the template. It's like, mm-hmm. what is it that makes it so difficult to feel? What is it that made it so difficult to acknowledge, I like this, I want this, I need this? Mm-hmm. Why there is so much judgment? Where is the judgment coming from? Is it me? Is it coming from somewhere else? You know, and you're just processing these things. And so that was an accelerated process. And then 2015, she died in 2017. 2014, I was visiting her and I just felt this deep, deep knowingness in my heart that I was working as an executive recruiter, that my days as executive recruiter was being numbered. Mm-hmm. It's a knowing, it's a deep knowing. Mm-hmm. Yet I didn't know exactly what I was supposed to do. Mm-hmm. I still didn't know. I remember saying this to a couple of friends and I said, I think my recruitment days is numbered down, mm-hmm. and it's not that far before I will have to make a decision. Mm-hmm. And then I said, okay, so this is, I acknowledged the feeling and I said, okay, what would I need then? I need exploration space. Okay, so what would be helpful? I asked myself and I said, I would like to hang out with people in this space, you know, in this personal development world, because this is what I'm interested in. And so I said, okay, so I need to meet some people. Mindvalley at the time was doing the Awesomeness Fest for the first time in Europe. And I know Vision from my university days. So I wrote him and I said, look, I'm going through some big transition here. And I feel like I want to meet different type of people. And I have a feeling this is the kind of people you have in this event. And he was like, yes, it's very personal growth. And yes, please come and join. So that was the first step that I was doing. I was like, let me just go there. And I went with an openness completely, because I don't have anything fixed in my head what I was supposed to do. I just knew a chapter is closing, but I don't know which door I'm going. There's a clarity in myself that I choose to, in between my father died and my mother died, that I choose to really live my life on my term as much as possible. Of course, there was a lot of like noise in my head, like, it's not possible. And I'm like, let me just give it a go and try it. It's like, and so I went to Awesomeness Fest, and I remember day zero, we were doing a workshop with Lisa Nichols for about 4 hours. It was so impactful to me. We haven't even started. It's day zero, the day before it's been kicked off. I was so open, and I was like, okay, I'm just going to allow myself to be inspired, right? Like no preconceived notion. I didn't know anyone there. And I just went. And then after the session, I went back to my hotel room. I remember this. I sat on the bed and I was like, I started literally speaking out loud. And I said, universe, okay. I surrender. I would do what I'm supposed to be doing, what my soul wants me to do. I surrender. I say yes. I would say, you need to tell me what I need to do. You need to tell me what I need to learn. You need to tell me the path, because I have no idea. I was asking, I want support. I want this. I want this. I want this. I'll do the work. I'll show up. Even though it's difficult, I will show up. But I need you to tell me how, where, when, with who. Mm-hmm. It was so cathartic. It was like, okay. So I was like, oh my God. And then after that, I was shaking because I was like, what did I just do now? I just declare a yes. Mm-hmm. But it felt so good, Julie, because there was no turning back after the burnout for me. There was no turning back. The passing of my father and the decline of health of my mother, this was so profound for me. Mm-hmm. Just to remind, your life is precious. Mm-hmm. You can go like my dad, just like that. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. He was not ill. He just dropped dead. Okay. So it was like, but he had a good life. He lived his term. So, mm-hmm. so he smiled in his, you can see he was smiling. You know, when you see his body, he was smiling. And I'm like, oh, thank God he was smiling, you know, mm-hmm. the last moment of his life. Yeah. And my mother was also smiling when he passed away. But it was really, for me, it was like, no, this is it, mm-hmm. you know.
So you were saying yes to, so from what I hear, you were saying yes to something. You didn't know what it was, but you right. were just saying yes.
Right. Yes.
Yeah.
I recognize the joy, the love, the peace came from a very deep place within myself, right? Mm-hmm. So, and I want that. I want that feeling a lot in my life. Mm-hmm. So then I learned about soul and, you know, all this. I said, soul always knows what to do, right? Mm. And I remember, this is also quite important milestone for me. 6 months before my dad passed away, this is how the universe also works, okay? You were never abandoned, actually. You just didn't realize you were being guided. This is looking back. 6 months before my dad passed away, my friend Selena, our friend Selena, and I met a lot for lunch and stuff like this. And she kept on giving me books about near-death experience, soul planning, soul growth, whatever. You know her, she's very curious about many things. Sometimes she knows of some books, she hasn't read it yet, but she would mention it to me. And I started reading a book by Anita Murjani, who had cancer and then near-death experience, and she came back completely clear, and then she started to live after that. So I was really like, wow, this resonates with me so much. And I came back to her place for lunch, and I said, I wonder what happens if you're really, really dead, you know? What happens with the soul? And she goes, there is this book about soul planning and all this. She has not read it, but I heard this somebody mention, so I Google and get the book. So basically, I've been reading the book about death. That was 6 months full, like death, near death, what happens after death, in between death, all these things. And so when my dad died, I was like, oh, yes, I was lost, but I was equipped somehow to put a context around what happened. Mm-hmm. And because I was not so sure, well, how am I supposed to live now? What is my blueprint, right? Mm-hmm. I started to process this, and I processed my grief and stuff like this. And I said, oh my God, in the book, there was a person who's actually helping people to understand what their soul plan is. Mm-hmm. So I was like, okay, let me just Google these people. And I did. And I found the main person. Her name is Stacey Wells. She's in the US. And I had an appointment with her. It was a 2 hours reading about, and I explained to her the reason why I come to you is after my dad died. I'm a bit confused about my life. I know I need to refine my blueprint, but I guess this may bring some information for me. Now, this is the most interesting. There are two things about this. One is she did the very comprehensive reading. She still does it. So if people want to do it, I would recommend it's worth the time and the investment. But what is so astonishing, Julie, is that what she brought down as information is very well structured, which I like. I like structure. I like to understand things. I could see everything. All the hardship in my life since I was a child until that point, I could see how everything fits well within this curriculum of lessons, okay? Mm-hmm. It gives me two things. One is, I'm in the right path. Mm-hmm. And then the realization, I never was out of my path, actually. Mm-hmm. And secondly, now I understand why there is a pull towards this new area, which I'm not so sure what exactly. Mm-hmm. So there was a pull because of the lessons that I wanted to. It didn't tell me this reading to do anything full time. It doesn't tell you how you should do it. It does not tell you that. It was just telling you, this is what your soul wants to learn. Lessons like unconditional love, lessons like trust and faith. So it doesn't tell you how you learn it, how you do it. But because there's a theme and a context, I could, oh, this is why there's this happened, this conflict happened, this thing happened. I could see how the whole thing fits. It gives me a feel of security in a way that I will never not be in my path. I'm always in my path. It's just that I need to reframe the way I see things from this perspective because it makes it easier, right? Mm-hmm. So just on this point, if you don't have access to services like what Stacey offers, you don't need to. Just look into your life and just look into the the situation that you called hardship. Those are the markers of what your soul wanted you to learn deeper and better, or to master certain lessons through these difficult challenges. You could just go back and take time to look back into like, what did I learn between 10, 0 to 10, 11 to 20, whatever. Mm-hmm. So coming back into, yes, universe, I will do it. It's like pinky promise. Okay, pinky promise. You do this for me. I do this for us. It's almost like we work together, yet this together is not a person. And you will speak to me through my heart, because I know that here is something that, for me, I understand by then it's something that is connected to the past, but I'm connecting to something else that is bigger than all of my experience from the past. You see what I mean? So it connects to the potential that I have that needs to be unleashed. Yeah. So the beautiful thing about it is the next day, I was in this session, a lady called Marissa Peer came on stage and she started speaking. And I was very impressed by her speech. And so I approached her and said, thank you, etc. And then she said to me, hey, by the way, I'm come to my breakout room, you know, at whatever, 2:00. I'm going to hypnotize the group. And I was like, ooh, interesting. And I never had any hypnotherapy before. You're going to do it for the group? And she goes, yes, yes. So I said, just come. And I said, okay. So I was there and there were like 40 people in the room. And she did her thing. And I was like, my heart was like, this is what you need to learn. Mm-hmm. I was like, Wing. And I'm like, I don't even understand what this is. And so throughout the event, I started to come to her sessions multiple times. And I asked her, literally, I said, are you teaching? And she goes, no. So I said, okay, well, I feel like I want to learn this. Would you please call me if you decided to teach? And she goes, I will, but I don't think I will. This is just a method that I've developed for so long, and I'm the only one who really can do this. And I said, in case you change your mind. Okay. So 2 months later, she made contact and said, I decided to teach. Right now, she's very famous. She has thousands of students. But in 2015, I was one of her first 40 students. And then that was the beginning. And then everything else started to unfold after that, right? So yeah. I remember telling my friends, I want to learn hypnotherapy. And everybody was like, what the hell is that? And I said, I have no clue. I don't know what it is.
Yeah.
I just knew this is to learn.
Yeah. So you just followed that calling.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Yes.
So is that what a soul calling is, or a soul, you know, when your heart says yes, or what is a soul calling or a soul purpose, and how do we know what that is?
It's such a good question, Julie. I would say a soul is the part of me that knows what is good for me, what is best for my highest truth and good. Okay. I don't always agree with it. I didn't always agree with it. Mm-hmm. Okay. But I have come to realize that it's always right. Okay. So this is this is an intelligence, a higher intelligence in our system, the ones that grows and always on expansive mode, right? Mm-hmm. And when you are connected to it, even though it's so weird, whatever you're experiencing, you always feel at home. You feel at home in it. Mm-hmm. Okay. It needs some practice to be able to touch it. You have to make this, you need to be silent with yourself. You need to be in solitary mode to be able to connect to it, because it's quite deep and sometimes it's buried under a lot of programming. And this is why I think I was raised Islam, right? We have these prayers 5 times per day. I realized as I grew up why it was important to do prayers is because you're basically trying to disconnect your mind and connect to somewhere deep within you if you do it correctly. This is also the same with meditation. Is you basically somewhat pause, for lack of a better word, pause the chatter in your head and make space to come into yourself by breathing and just observing. Things just come up. The voice come up. Soul always brings you a feeling of home, of love, of assurance. Mm-hmm. The problem we have is we fight it. This shouldn't be this way. No, I didn't ask for that. Yeah, but you know, but it's always there to tell you and to remind you of who you are, what is good for you and not good for you. And so when people want to have a fulfilling life, this is my conclusion, is basically you are making a decision. You are saying yes. It doesn't need to be so cathartic the way I did it in Croatia. Like, yes, universe, I'm going to follow whatever. You could just make a choice. You would say to yourself, connected to your centered, and say, I want something different. At least you start with that. Mm-hmm. Whatever it is that I've been or the way I've lived is not enough for me. And to just say, I want something different. And implicit in that is also saying, well, if it's not fear-driven decisions, it needs to come from empowered place, home place, love place decisions, right? So so that means you connect to your soul, because it will tell you what is good for you. Okay, so it's basically living a fulfilling life is basically making daily choices to show up in closer alignment to what your soul says. It's basically telling your soul, okay, you're driving. Mm-hmm. I'm just going to do my best to follow or not to fight you. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. This is why it's difficult in the beginning.
Yeah. And I guess that's then you just follow the feeling, right? Is that right? So if something feels...
Yes.
If something feels or doesn't feel good or is causes anxiety or the less enjoyable feelings, let's put it that way, then it's probably not so good for your soul. And, you know, when you're feeling joy and peace and, you know, those are the feelings to follow.
Yes. Deep, deep feeling. Yes. It's coming from a deep, deep, deep place. If you are a tree, you feel like you're connected to your roots. You know, that's the feeling when you're connected to your soul. It's like, I'm rooted in me. Instead of, this is what I learned the hard way, instead of arguing, the question always, for me now, if I come with a very difficult situation, it's not easy, because I still feel difficulties. It's not like I don't feel guilt or anger. I'm still human and still feel all these emotions. But when we are much more aligned with the soul, I can go a few steps back from, it's almost like I'm taking myself out of my body a few steps and say, if this situation, however, is difficult, is meant to be this way, this is the best possible situation for now, what is it that I'm not seeing to appreciate it? Okay. Because the soul is sometimes when it's saying, do this, it also means you have to break or destroy something you believe to be true for a long, long time.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Which isn't always easy, right?
It's not always easy because it impacts everything.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. How is it to love people? Is it love when you sacrifice yourself for it?
Mm-hmm.
Is it? You know? And the soul was like, in love, nobody sacrifice. So then you're like, oh my God, all these mm-hmm. years, self-sacrifice. I thought I was being a good girl, mm-hmm. a good daughter, a good friend, a good girlfriend, whatever. It's not. That was not love. What was that?
Mm-hmm.
So you're like, oh God, you know, and of course, then you start to be like, oh my God, okay. You know, this is like an ongoing process and you just have to face it. It's living in alignment with your soul will bring out easiness in you living your life, regardless of how difficult the situation is. Because usually situation happens because we are interconnected with other people.
Mm.
I mean, we don't have control over everything. If we want to control our world is big, really, really small. And we don't, that's not living in alignment with the soul, because alignment with the soul is expansive, right?
Mm.
And so we have to let go control and we have to learn to trust more. What do we need to trust more? So we need to trust ourselves more, our heart more. We need to trust the message that comes from our heart more. We need to trust the team that I, Invisible, that I was working with in all these years. Learning to identify or to discern who I can trust, who not, what to trust and what not, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's a very active and a very engaged process. Mm-hmm. But that's the point. Then you fully, fully live.
Mm.
So the fulfillment doesn't come from achievement anymore,
mm-hmm.
but come from being in it. Okay.
And the feelings that you're experiencing as a result of following that
path.
Right?
Yes. So it's not dependent on achievements anymore.
Right. Right.
It's highly connected to the engagement that you have in your own life, in following, in choosing how you wanted to show up and follow through.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't have anything to do with how much money I have in my bank account.
Yeah.
This, you can also have no money and feeling fulfilled, you know?
Right. Yeah.
Very, just enough money and feeling fulfilled. It makes it accessible to anyone, to everyone. You don't have to have a certain education to feeling fulfilled. You don't. Yeah. It has nothing to do with those things. Those may help you to be very successful, but may not necessarily help you to be fulfilled.
Yeah. So it's really sort of changing your focus from a more material or earthly
focused
focus. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Into
both.
Okay.
Yes. Because I still recognize if you don't have money, it's very difficult to feel safe.
Mm-hmm.
So there is some threshold, right? That you have to be able to live feeling, yes, my needs are met. My basic needs are met. I have a place to live. I can be visiting my family. I can eat out when I want to. I can learn something if I want to. This is still requiring money, right? Mm-hmm. To experience. But it's not just the money. It's you focus also on, you cherish what is coming with the process of mm-hmm. learning, of going out, of mm-hmm. sitting with your family, with your loved ones, and
mm-hmm.
not necessarily going anywhere, just sit together and connect and speak, right? And this bit doesn't require so much money. Mm-hmm. You can go to the park and have a sit down there for 2 hours and be so filled, so full.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So, yeah. So with people who are, you know, always sort of chasing the next holiday or the next purchase or the next, you know, thing, then that sounds like they're probably not, although maybe on the surface it looks like they're living a successful life,
mm-hmm.
it sounds like they're probably not fulfilled.
I think it's very difficult to judge from the cover, just from the outer look, right?
Yeah.
But that's something I learned from my own journey, is that the more fulfilled you are, the less stuff you wish to have. It's like you don't need too many things.
Mm-hmm.
I learned that because I've been on that the other side, where around the time of burnout, I shop a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I shop a lot. I didn't even know why I shopped. I have all kinds of blue bags, blue purses, you know, all kinds of blue. But that's that.
Mm-hmm.
I went on holiday and I enjoyed it. And then when I came back, the hole is still there.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, okay, let me just fill up with work.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah. Because at least it looks good, right?
Yeah.
Like my addiction was working back then. Some other people drink, some people something else, some people shop, whatever.
Yeah.
So, and then as I journey into the fulfillment, I keep on decluttering my house. It's like, I just wanted to have the stuff that I really, really like and I enjoyed and are beautiful. And the things that I don't connect with, I donate basically. And it became this, it's like continuously or continuous process or regular process of shedding skin. Yeah.
Yeah.
So you just let go of the stuff that you don't need because you have so much already in you. You are so full in you that everything else is just a nice touch. But that's it. It's just a nice adding point. It's like a cake is just the cherry on top, right?
Mm.
But it's not the cake itself.
Yeah. Yeah. Nice. Now, so now you've been on this path and being a subconscious mind reprogrammer for quite a few years.
Mm-hmm.
Has it always been fulfilling or a happy path? Have there been times when you've thought, what am I doing? Or do I want to even continue? Or are you always feeling satisfied?
Mostly satisfied, but there was a time when I was really questioning whether I should continue.
Mm-hmm.
And I think looking back, you know, just like anything, Julie, when you started a new profession where you don't know where your place is, you know, you're trying to figure out where you fit, how to be in the seat that the universe was, we've given you this seat. You just took time to get there. And then you took time to get comfortable in there. They don't complain. They never complain. But it's not always a straightforward process, right? I had to face my inner shadow. This part of me that I had to integrate, and the fear that I had, the anger that I have, the shame and the guilt that I had, all those things that I didn't know I have. This is the other thing. I didn't realize I had this fear. I didn't realize I had this guilt. I didn't realize I had all kinds of stuff. As I faced this, and that was a choice that I did, how can I help people if I don't know what it feels like to feel liberated, to feel fulfilled, to understand what it is, to understand how to get there? I had to do it. And it's an intense process. It's an intense process that requires a lot of adjustments in your body, in your life, in the way you operate, everything. It requires so much adjustment and it takes a lot of energy. It's almost like a continuous hiking path. And at some point, I was just exhausted. I just thought sometimes like, my God, how much more do I need to ascend, right? And this is when I made the call also to allow myself enough time to rest, because even though it may impact the amount of time and energy I have to offer people to help, I just have to do it, right? And to give that habit of resting. Mm-hmm. And even then, when you just climb up such a steep ascension process, I call it, you went up there and you're like, is it all worth it, you know? Mm-hmm. And how much more mm-hmm. is it? How much is it? Am I ever going to reach the peak? That's mm-hmm. the ego speaking. Mm-hmm. And so I did, in the beginning of this year, I did took time and I really questioned, should I continue? Do I still have the joy doing this? Because the investment from my side, particularly in the past 2 years, it, in terms of healing and integrating so many deep parts of me that not helping me to show up for other people in a way that is healthy, allowing some deep transformation to happen without costing my well-being, the process of reprogramming that impact my body, I had health issues. Mm-hmm. I had health issues that I had to like, okay, this is connected to the spiritual progress, right? The spiritual ascension, but it impacts the body and it scared the hell out of me. I mean, my dad had a heart attack. I could have had the same, right? And there was a time when I had to go to the hospital suddenly because I started spinning. I would lose my balance suddenly in a very quite severe manner. And this is all connected to that. And I'm not saying that this will connect to impacted people in the same way, but in my case, I'm telling my stories, is that mm-hmm. it was impacting my physical well-being. And so to just allow the body to recalibrate itself enough, to give it enough time and space to recalibrate so it matches the rising of what I call it, the energetic frequency in my body. This is very important. But then, of course, the question is it worth it? Is it worth it? And when that question happens, I don't usually answer right away. Usually it's a signal and symptoms of let's chill for a bit. Let's do something joyful. Let's not give too much. And this is why a lot of the people that had been in my newsletter, they haven't seen me much in social media. They haven't seen me doing Instagram Live, etc. It's not because I don't want to share. I have a lot to share, but it's not time because I needed time for me. Mm-hmm. So I minimally engage with the crowds, but it feels now it's coming back the energy, right? So whenever there is this question, of course, it's a request for slow down and sit and give time to connect again deeply. And usually when you are going through a stressful situation, don't make big decisions. Just go back first into stable places, safe place within myself, do some joyful things. And this is when I started to do a lot more joyful activities. So hang out with my girlfriends, hang out with my family, doing my arts, you know, whatever, going for a walk, swim in the lake, whatever. It's just all different kinds of things. And then when I feel so much better, more myself, then I can make a decision about that. And I decided to continue. But I also decided to continue doing it differently. So when you are growing in your soul path, you are doing the inner work, you are going to grow and you're going to be feeling different about yourself. And this usually then requires you to change something in your life. It could be about how you relate to people, or it could be, in my case, how I do my work. So I'm now in the process of trying different things to do my work differently, because I noticed I need something more that couldn't be delivered with the way I did my work last year. Okay. So there's a regular, and when I say regular, it's not like it's a strict timeline, but there's a cyclical refinement of how is the best way to help myself to show up.
Mm-hmm. I suppose that's that's something that we do or should do anyway, I guess, in whatever it is that we're doing. It's just probably most often people are so caught up or so involved with the day to day that they don't necessarily take the time to pause and reflect on, you know, how things have gone, what's been good, what's been, you know, what can be improved and what can be done differently, right?
Yes. Yes. Yeah. That would be the case, yes. And it's good to set some time. And I think also it's really good to, particularly when you are in a relationship, to sit with your partner about the joint life that you are in, you know, is it still fulfilling? Mm-hmm. Is it still the way we do it? Is it still allowing us to fulfill our needs individually and as a couple, right? I say this because a lot of my clients are going through that right now. Mm-hmm. they go through the healing and then now they started to review how their marriage has been and how, what to change, if there is anything to change, or maybe to end it, because it's become really obvious that there's not much in common anymore. Mm. Yeah. So, yes, it should be very regular, but it requires effort and time. So reflection of growth. Sometimes we also grow a lot and then we didn't realize how much we grew. That's the case with me. I realize how much I grew when I was confronted with this. This is so much. It takes a lot for me. And is it worth it? Then I had to stop and like, okay, let's go back. Let's go back and see how much have I grown and how am I going to bring all this, integrate all this in the way I live from now on, right? So to acknowledge how much you grow is also very important. Not only about what I need to grow, but how much I've grown is as important.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Whether one is on the spiritual, you know, is on the spiritual path or not.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah.
So I think people use the word awakening as living in alignment with the spirit, with the soul, with your own spirit, etc. I have a very simple take on it. It's a choice, right? To live ease with ease or not. Mm-hmm. And ease is not easy. It's not easy. Mm. Ease is not easy. The process of living in alignment with your soul requires you to break down a lot of stuff that you've built when you're not living in alignment with your soul. It's almost like you're building a new house in the place that has already a house. So this is a representation of life, your life. So something has to break down. And in some cases, people find out that things already breaking down, breaking apart many, many years, but didn't want to acknowledge that it's been breaking apart. Or in my case, it was collapsing through burnout. It's like quick collapse. And there's no right or wrong. It's just what it is. But usually things like this, a breakdown of something is basically ignited because deep down, you may not realize it, that you had wished a different life. Mm-hmm. You may not remember it. I happen to remember. Mm-hmm. I happen to remember. But a lot of people, if I look back and have this conversation, I ask, do you remember if you had asked for something different a few years prior? And they 100% of the time, yes. But I didn't think that the universe is listening. Well, your soul is listening. And when you're so like, okay, are you ready? Okay, now let's go. Let's start breaking down things. Okay. I have friends who have near-death experience having a car accident. He has such an established life. Mm-hmm. But the fact that he
was so close to death. He couldn't even, he told me, and it was really touching. He told me when I was reconstructing, you know, some parts of my body because of the accident, and I was in the hospital bed, and I was asking, if I didn't make it, what would my daughter say about me in my funeral? Mm-hmm. And that was enough for me to say, there has to be more than this. Mm-hmm. And then sequence of things happen, and some are very shocking for him. The transition was speed up by the universe. But we know, but I knew this was going to happen, right? This is why it's good to have friends who kind of like, it's chill, it's all good. Mm-hmm. It's painful, I hear, I know, but this is part of the the soul, like, let me just come out now. Mm. Let me just come out and help you to show up in life in much more alignment with what is important for you. Mm-hmm. He is very happy now. He moved country, he changed everything, and he's probably the happiest and the most fulfilled now compared to before. He's always been very successful, but I think different, if we were to speak to him, I think there is a lot more satisfaction, mm-hmm. And richness in his heart. Mm-hmm. In this new, he had to reestablish everything. He came, he went like me, he went into not a healing, but it's a completely new mm-hmm. new industry and rebuild. And he's very successful in doing that because he's doing it for the right reason and it's coming from a deep place of his being.
Now, Astuti, you mentioned that one of your soul lessons is about unconditional love, and you're sort of learning about it through your job. Now, do people always have to learn their soul lesson or follow this? Yeah, learn their soul lesson through their profession?
Yeah, very good questions, Julie. Very good question. And I'm glad that you asked this. You're right. I choose to learn, to make progress in understanding and living as much as possible in unconditional love, also through my profession. But it's because I have a pull and a yearning within my soul to help others to do the same. Okay, so there's this desire to do it for other people. But it doesn't have to be. Because I learned that there are two types of main reasons why people come, or the soul comes into this life. One is to make growth in their soul. So in my case, some other people who wants to learn unconditional love may just do it within their own life by living and by making progress for themselves, okay? And there's other group of people that have this thing about, I want also to help others learning what I'm learning, mm-hmm. okay? In my case, because I have the second, it is easiest for me to actually do it full time. Mm-hmm. This is why I went into this profession. But for other people who does not have the pull that I want to do it, you know, as a profession, that to do it full time, you don't need to do it. You can just live. And by being present in life, making choices in life, you can learn your lessons. Through interactions that you have in your life, you can still work for somebody else, or you may not even need, you can be just somebody who takes care of other people, or you a housewife or a house father, house husband, whatever it is, it is not confined and limited by your professional choice, basically. It's just that some people are getting pulled to help other people, and people like me, we are choosing to do it full time. But it doesn't make you better. It's just that my soul has a desire to help people to experience or to learn what I'm learning.
Okay. And okay. Some other people don't have that. They just want to do it on one-to-one. It's not so much about a lot of people. So you just have to live.
And how do you know if you, if your soul has only the single, you know, to do it for themselves, or whether to also do it and help other people learn it?
Usually there's a very clear pull, Julie, and usually it shows up whenever you started to do the inner healing. You just like, yeah, I think this is it. I love my life. It's great that I can be present as a parent. I focus on my family. It's just what you feel feels right for you. The feeling is, this is what feels right for you. This is the scope that I want to play in on the bigger perspective. Can you imagine in any society, you need people to ground the energy, right? And the people who shake and move in order for changes to happen. So for the ones that are shaking and changing, they need to touch a lot of people so that it shakes. But there's also a lot of people who just keep the energy stable, the society stable, by being a grounded person, fully present, showing up in their community wholeheartedly. This creates a lot of stability also, without having to do something active, in my case, sharing, educating, and facilitating a process. You can also do that within your closest vicinity. People are still impacted by that. So it's not, I think we often get caught up in like, I have to follow and I have to teach what I'm learning. Yes and no. If there is a desire to do it, then yes. If no, it's also okay. You're not worse off, or you are not less important than the others who are choosing to help, I say, the collective.
Mm-hmm. We've covered, you know, a lot of things here. What I'm hearing, what I'm understanding, you know, often when we're not living with ease, well, generally, it sounds like we know that anyway. Or if we don't, then something happens to cause us to realize it, whether it's a breakdown or a breakup or maybe even a depression, you know, all sorts of things like this, right? Which is then basically some kind of wake up call to say, listen, you're not living in alignment with your soul. Right. And that's a wake up call for change.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes.
And I love what you said about, you know, living with ease doesn't mean easy.
No, correct.
Because it's a huge, you know, there's lots of changes that need to be made. Beliefs that probably need to be reprogrammed, you know, thinking yes. that needs to be altered, lifestyles that need to yes. be completely shifted.
Yes.
Right? Yes. But what you're also saying is, you know, it's very much a choice of how you want to live, right? Do you yes. want to continue on this path of unfulfillment, or do you choose to live in a different way?
Yes. Absolutely, Julie. I think fundamentally, why fulfillment is very important is because it's not highly dependent on the involvement of other people. You know, when we are aiming for success, usually this is in connections to other people showing up and do the work also.
Mm.
But when it comes to fulfillment, it's you.
Mm.
How active and how engaged you are.
Mm-hmm.
It's mainly in your hand. For me, it's an empowered state of being, because you're not reliant on anyone else.
Mm.
Even though your family is very different than you, when you are saying yes to what matters to you the most, and you respectfully and in dignity, also divorcing the old part of you that was conforming to the expectation of others, and then activating another part of you who's been sitting on the bench wanting to play with you and to come into the field and do stuff with you. This is on you. This is on you. Yeah. And yes, of course, there's resistance. This is why we do the deep work. Mm-hmm. And this is where people like myself come into play to support, to work with you, to facilitate a process, to detangle, untangle, declutter, unclutter, deactivate certain things to help you to do that in a way that is much more guided and supported. If you want, if you're not, you can just also do it yourself, regardless which way you go for. It's empowering to live on the choice you make and the choice that comes from a place of love.
Yeah, beautiful. Thank you so much, Astuti, for this.
You're welcome.
Amazing sharing. Yeah, I found it very inspiring, and I'm sure our listeners or viewers will find it as well. And for those of you who are listening or watching, please subscribe to the YouTube channel or the podcast channel to be updated on new episodes. And please share this episode as well with others who you think might benefit from Astuti's wise words. Thank you very much, Astuti, for your time today. And thank you, everyone, for listening and watching. And we'll see you another time.
Thank you, Julie. And thank you, everyone.